This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
In philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine, intern Ryan. Got the Periscope and the podcast fired up, as we are fired up to come in here on this Monday. What is it? June 14th?
Yes.
Obligatory. Wow, it's already the middle of June. Comment following.
Jeez.
Get set to talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours. Cameron, how are you? Got your Hawks gear on, ready to get down to Atlanta?
Yes. I'm tolerable.
You're tolerable?
It's a game day. Yeah.
Okay. Good
Love
weekend?
Yeah, can't complain.
No
can't
bad
complain.
Falcons news?
Yeah, nothing bad really necessarily happened.
Hawks kind of
I did lose my high score in Pac-Man. I used to have the high score at Hops when somebody beat that. So
Man.
So it kind of just, that kind of hurt. But, oof. You know, it happens.
Just gotta
get better, you know.
You gotta have goals,
yeah.
Things to strive for. Just get back in the lab, buddy.
Yeah.
If you had the high score and no one could beat it, you would lose your,
yeah, my
your
edge,
drive.
My edge and drive to compete. Yeah. I was a little out of practice too. I need to go back into the workshop and study the game a little bit more. You know.
Every all-time great has somebody pushing them. So.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know
That's
the initials?
True.
Do you know the person that beat your score? Do they come?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They're a regular. I know them. So.
Okay. Well. That's your carrot that you're chasing.
When's the last time you played Pac-Man?
I played at Hops when they first put it in like a year ago before. Then they shut it down for the pandemic, and then it didn't. Yeah. You know, I haven't played it since they put it back up. But
I'm
not like very good at it. I can be like three, I can clear like three levels, and that's all I got in me. Mm. How many levels can you clear, Cam?
I think when I set the score, three sends you to that. I think I was on like the seventh.
Oh wow!
Ooh. It was either six or seven, somewhere in there.
Man,
I'm not tough. Great at
Pretty
it.
Impressive.
I definitely know people that are way better than me at it. It's kind of there's like different tricks you can actually kind of know. Like one of the key things is there's only one of those ghosts is actually actively chasing you. There's like rules around the ghosts. I don't remember all
Wait,
of them.
What? That's
yeah.
not true.
No, that's completely
just randomly,
true.
Randomly like coming out.
There's like one I think
face.
That does like only like left turns. There's one that only does like they all have certain little like. Things they do. The red one is the only one that's always actively chasing
just
you.
Just following you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And the rest are just in their little pattern.
So sometimes you can like stop. Like when you see them just like randomly change direction, it's because they're, you know, it's just kind of what they're programmed to do. So sometimes you can like wait and pause and kind of see what they're about to do. So
Okay. It's
like little tips and things like that you can find out and make you better at the game.
All right. Draven, what about you? How was your weekend?
Pretty good, John.
How was the zoo? Hot?
It was
rainy?
Hot. My God, it was hot. No, missed the rain.
Nice.
Was able to avoid the rain, which is always good, but God, it was hot.
Did the nephew have a good time? Did he like
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Was Cam right? He didn't really care about the animal?
Yeah, not really. Yeah. Hey, he had a lot going
he's 2 years
on. You
old.
Know, you got a lot of people coming up.
Hot.
Happy birthday.
I'd imagine I'd be
yeah.
sleeping. Put me in the shower and let me go to sleep.
Sensory overload. He's 2 years old. You're doing too much.
He had a good time, though.
Good
he had a good time.
At least?
Yeah.
That's hot.
The zoo just kind of not for me.
Kid birthday parties are
like, is it me or just like, you know. Let the tigers, like, go at each other or something. Like,
let them go
fight.
At each other?
Not like in a killing way, but, like, let them play fight. You know how cats are. You know how tigers are. They keep them all separated,
oh,
man.
Really?
They're literally all separated.
All the tigers are in different... Well, tigers are solitary animals in general. They're very territorial.
Well, that's why I want to see two in the same ring, man. I want to see them kind of going at it. Give me some entertainment.
That's how
just laying there sleeping. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, I'm watching this tiger lay here. Like, I could, it's nothing.
Well, that's why I said I'm not a big zoo fan either.
There was also, like, one monkey. In the whole exhibit,
they're
like
it's hot, man. They're probably like getting
they're chilling,
off.
Yeah.
Probably let them go inside, like in the. I'm sure they have like a pool or something for some of the animals to be able to splash around. And I've always thought, but I don't know. At least some air conditioning. Yeah, so that's tough. Did you get to make it to any of the block parties or no?
No. I did not. Kind of rained, and then didn't really want to stand out in the rain. Obviously.
Well, yeah.
So.
On Sunday, it was way too hot to be at the block party. Although I guess there was some shade up there, but yeah, Sunday was a scorcher. Saturday night was a humid night after the rain, especially.
Mm-hmm.
But Tennessee did us a favor, didn't make us play a game 3, went ahead and took care of business as they went ahead and swept LSU out of here, just like they swept them in the regular season, just like they swept in the regionals. So Tennessee, the number for them is 5-0. Went 5-0 in the regional and super regional. Went 5-0 against LSU this year, and now they are headed to Omaha, which I think we can all say is like kind of the equivalent of making the Final Four in basketball. Like, this is kind of the banner, like, you make it to Omaha. It's great. Like, go win it all. Like, I think this team, especially with the, you know, the Arkansas result last night, you know, Tennessee, I haven't seen the updated gambling lines. Personally, I think Vanderbilt would be a little bit favored, a slight favorite to win it all, just because of their top two pitchers. But I would imagine Tennessee has the second best odds. And
yeah, you know, remember Texas.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Texas up there too. I mean, Texas was a higher national seed. I think Tennessee is playing better than Texas at this point. Texas struggling a little bit. They had to win on a walk-off the other night. Did they win their second game, I guess? Are they already through?
Yeah, I think Texas is officially through.
So we'll keep an eye on, you know, there's a couple more games tonight, I think, right?
Well, Virginia, Dallas Baptist, I know they play.
And that's Tennessee's first opponent, so Tennessee should be watching that game intently, seeing who you'll play. Personally, I'd rather just have Virginia win.
Just don't want that Cinderella story.
Something about the scrappy, like, Cinderella underdog. I'd just rather not go down that route, because that Dallas Baptist team has some swag about them. And Tennessee does too, but Dallas Baptist, they'd be the team there that I think the rest of the country would gravitate towards, just as the smallest school and all that. So I'm rooting for Virginia tonight. I'm rooting for Virginia. Intern Ryan, you said you got to go to the block party, right, on Saturday?
Yeah, on Saturday.
Good time?
Yeah, it was electric. Like, so many people were just having a great time. You couldn't really see the game. A lot of people were asking what was going on.
Well, from the pictures I saw, it did seem like the TV was way too small.
Way too small.
Which I guess, you know, to me, Cam, that puts to bed the notion that they might have had that planned, because logistically, you would have had a bigger TV. Yeah. Maybe you would have had a couple TVs. And yesterday, inside the stadium, they ran out of water.
Yeah. It was all a money grab. But, yeah, the water thing, logistic mess, a big logistic L.
Well, I would imagine it was because they're like, okay, well, I guess we got to, you know, put some of this water out here to the watch party people. So we got to split our – we got to ration up our allotment. I was just like, man, it's 90 degrees. You got to have some water here, especially if you're going to be selling so much booze. Like, you got to give the people a chance to hydrate. I thought that was a big logistical L. As was, like I said, the TV situation. Although I didn't see anybody really complaining. It was really just kind of close enough to the stadium where you could still kind of have an idea of what was happening.
Yeah, and you still had the scoreboard off to the right. A lot of people weren't even realizing that they could look at the scoreboard to see what was going on.
Yeah.
But it was there.
Okay. LSU fans, they traveled pretty well. It was about like what I thought, though, like 1,000 max. They were kind of spread out. I thought on Saturday had a good showing in the general admission section over there, like where the bleachers were. Yeah, be careful, that ant's trying to crawl in your mouth.
Literally.
It's in the back of your computer right now. There are some in my – a lot in my section as well. There are a lot in my section. Sorry, ant. I hate to have to do that to you.
That's such a big ant.
That's a huge ant.
It really is.
I just feel like he was going to – can we get a paper towel over here? Yeah. I didn't want to have to watch him suffer, but I didn't want him to crawl in my mouth either. So don't ever say I didn't do anything for you, Draven.
He just saved your life.
As I protected you.
Thank you.
LSU fans kind of took over the – or had a really good showing, I think, behind the first baseline. So the resale tickets did go, a lot of them, to LSU fans. Yesterday, I thought there was maybe even more.
Really?
Yeah, spread out.
I wonder about that, because you can't really tell, obviously, watching on the TV.
My section definitely had more closer to me on Sunday, game two, than they did Saturday. I don't know if
people sold tickets,
the people that were there the night before had the resale tickets and only bought one day, and then somebody else bought them the second time, or if someone's like, okay, well, we won game one, so let's sell game two, and then maybe we'll go to game three. I don't know what the scenario was, but thought LSU fans, you know, had a pretty good showing. They all left pretty sad, though.
Yeah, how long did they stay for the Sunday game?
A lot of people got out, like, whenever Tennessee went up, like, 12. Whenever it got, 11-6?
Yeah.
I think LSU had battled back to make 11-6, Tennessee hit another 2- or 3-run bomb the next bottom of the – or top of the inning, and that's when, like, you know, a good portion of ours, like, okay, see you guys, out of here.
Yep.
Take it easy. And then the section behind the third baseline where LSU's dugout was, they all kind of emptied out in the, you know, the ninth inning when Tennessee was, you know, batting around and pouring it on. And a little bit of irony as they're complaining about Tennessee fans booing their manager, or their coach, excuse me, as they didn't even hang around to tell him goodbye. So I thought that was.
I still didn't like that though. You didn't like it? I didn't like them booing in there. Like we beat them. Like we won. We don't have to. We don't have to do that. Yeah. We don't have to have that extra on top. Like.
I think I don't. I don't think I booed at that point. I was honest. I'll be honest with you, after Tennessee got up 11-2, I was like, all right, let's just speed this thing up, boys. Like,
yeah, let's get to the end.
Tennessee had a double play with the bases loaded. Aw, shucks.
That one fifth inning was so long.
Oh, I know. It was. Yeah, like, you know, I gave Maneri some stuff, you know, from the front row. You know, I don't know if he could hear, but the LSU players could. The first baseman, poor guy, poor Trey Morgan. Yeah, he could hear everything.
What's up with the players flipping off the crowd? Is that true?
I didn't see it, but I was on the other side, and I'll be honest, it was in the fifth inning where maybe I started getting a heat stroke or just trying to you know, tough it out. But, I mean, like, the fans were pretty tough on them, and, you know, for the pitchers, I just kept yelling at Maneri, you know, why'd you take out Marceau? That's what I kept saying. Where's Marceau? He's your ace. But took him out. I thought he took him out too early, which obviously I think he would agree. With hindsight, after, you know, every reliever he brought in got shellacked. Like, I know Maneri had given up, right? I know Marceau had given up two home runs, but to the same guy. It's like, hey, don't pitch to him. And, like, otherwise, it wasn't that bad. But then every reliever he brought in, yeah, was just getting shellacked. So there was apparently the relief pitcher, one of them that had flipped off the crowd. I don't blame him for being upset. If you disagree with booing the manager at the end of the game, I won't even argue with you about it. I do think, like, he kind of asked for it himself by the things he said, at, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can't really call Knoxville nasty people and not expect at least to get the boos. I don't think there was like really any venom behind them at that point, but, like, you know, you're going to get booed for saying what you said. I did feel bad for Trey Morgan because his coach kind of threw him under the bus, talking about how he got rattled last series. And my section people were pretty tough on him. For the most part, it was all good. There was a brief moment where somebody behind me had called him boy, and that one rubbed me the wrong way. And I was kind of like, oh, let's not do that. That one feels like it's got some racial undertones. But, like, hey, let's keep it let's not call him boy. Then he had that error in the first inning that kind of set the tone for their game, and it was pretty tough. Pretty tough weekend for him, although at least he hit him a home run.
There you go. Yeah.
And he's batting third as a freshman for LSU, so it's not like he's not going to be able to accomplish some goals in his life. A couple years, he'll be fine. He'll laugh back on this and maybe say that Tennessee helped motivate him in the offseason. I don't know. Maybe he'll transfer here. Doubt it.
Doubt it at this point.
Can't do that.
I doubt that. But pretty successful Tennessee baseball weekend. Saturday was drama filled, or at least, you know, some tense moments. Tennessee didn't play well Saturday, I didn't think. Mm-hmm. Ugly game. Like, their runs kind of resulted from an LSU mix up. Like, I mean, I thought, you know, LSU had the infield in. I don't know if they could have got the out at home instead. The, you know, the third baseman tried to turn around and make a tag, didn't make it. Then was late to first, and that kind of extended the inning, and they lost the lead. And, you know, Tennessee's maybe the story of really the last month for them has been just relief pitching. It's been really, really good. And this weekend, again, it was really, really good. We'll continue talking Tennessee baseball after the break. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. So Omaha, close to being set. Is that the only game tonight? Is that the only game three we have?
No, Notre Dame plays Mississippi State as well.
So far, not really a good showing for the SEC.
No.
Especially if Mississippi State loses to Notre Dame.
Yep. What about Arkansas losing? Crazy.
That's huge.
They struggled in their regional, too. I mean, they had to play a game three against Nebraska.
Yep.
And you saw a little crack in the armor there. You know, cops had to bail them out in game three and kind of shut them down. I thought it was a pretty desperate move to make him start after pitching two innings the day before. You feel bad for him that his career ends there, but I don't know how Van Horn had him back out there in the ninth. I know it's easy to say, but at the time, he's like, he had 110 pitches already. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, no regard for this guy's arm. No, like, confidence in any of your other pitchers. Really? You have nobody you can turn the ball over to right now? And then he gives up a home run to start the ninth, and, you know, you could hear just a pin drop in that, you know, packed out baseball stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It got very quiet, and then, you know, what, three ground outs or two ground outs, and I don't remember how the third out happened, but it never put up a fight in the ninth, and Arkansas, the number one team, Omahawks going Omahome as they're eliminated, which opens, you know, it gives Tennessee a shot in the arm. Now with the number one team out, and quite frankly, a team that I don't want to say dominated you because you know, some of the games were close, but they had your number this year. They beat you four, you know, they beat you three times, three out of four times you played. They got the best of you compared to any other, you know, team in the country.
Yep.
So now that they're gone, if you're Tennessee, you're looking and saying, hey, we can win this thing. We can beat anybody. Now I'm a little worried about Vanderbilt. I'm a little worried about Vanderbilt, and I think that now that they're in the tournament, like, you're going to look at their top two pitching and say, okay, as long as Rocker has his good stuff.
Yep.
Because, I mean, his velocity is kind of went back and forth at times this year. Sometimes he's maxing out at 96. Sometimes he's maxing out at 92. If you get the version of him that's throwing 92, Tennessee, or any team in the country, feels good about their chances of beating him. If he's hitting 96, you know, he's going to be the best pitcher in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But Arkansas going out, yeah, like Draven said, that makes you feel pretty good. See if you could find updated odds on – have they posted that, or are they waiting for – Virginia and
probably have to
Dallas
win.
Baptist.
Yeah, final two games today.
Do we have the Omaha bracket out?
That's what I'm trying to find right here. Mm-hmm.
Like Tennessee's game four on Sunday. That's pretty much scheduled in. The crazy part about this is like they don't reseed the bracket. So Arkansas is supposed to be the one seed. It'll be North Carolina State now. So if you're on that side of the bracket, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, this feels good. It's a nice break.
Isn't that kind of a little crazy they don't reseed it, right? Especially after, I mean, you kind of have it all set, like your final eight teams.
Yeah, I guess the reasoning, Draven, is that they probably just treat it like a 64-team bracket or a 32-team bracket or, I guess, 16. You know, whenever it gets to the Super Regionals, you kind of have just everything planned out, and you're treating it as if basically an eight seed beats a one seed, and, you know, you just get to feel good about that. I wonder what type of showing we're going to have in Omaha.
I've seen a lot of people that seem like they're interested in trying to figure out how to get out there, but, you know.
That's the thing is, you know, talking to my friends, people, you know, had to explain to somebody that thought it was like a four-day tournament.
It does look like if we do win that first game, we'll play Texas or the winner of the whoever right. Texas plays. And they don't have it set either, so okay. I guess they'll play the winner of Notre Dame, Mississippi
Texas
State.
Texas, the 2 seed, we're the 3 seed. So
yep.
Really the big winner in last night was probably Vanderbilt, who, you know, got beat by – Arkansas in the SEC tournament. Now they're going to be over there matched up with, you know, NC State.
Yeah.
They play Arizona to open up. That's what it has on here.
Vandy will. Right. Yep. Then they'll play the win. If they win,
they'll play.
Right,
exactly. Arizona, I mean, didn't they put up, what, 16 runs last night?
Arizona's good. It's been a good showing for, like, the West Coast teams, you know, in the tournament so far.
Yeah. I heard some, like, announcers talking about. They're like, yeah, SEC is like the power league, it kind of seems like, and they're like, yeah, so when the power shots aren't flying, they struggle a little bit.
Well, I would say there's a couple of reasons why. Yeah, I mean, the SEC maybe just recruits guys like that, but also like the humidity and the heat help the ball fly. Like, you can tell last night in the first inning, you know, you have two home runs hit in the first inning, like, yep, this hot air is going to make it, you know, just pop off the bat. Yeah, I did see people trying to detract away from Tennessee for that reason, because Tennessee has thrived with the long ball year, and some people are like, oh, you're playing a kiddie stadium. Those balls aren't going to fly in Omaha. Those balls aren't going out of the park in Omaha. It's a bigger park. And you know, maybe there's some truth to a couple of the ones that go down the foul pole, like, you know, 320 or so. But, like, a lot of Tennessee shots are no doubters.
Yep.
Like, Drew Gilbert's not out here getting cheap home runs. I mean, that Grand Slam just landed 3 days ago.
Yeah.
That was the ball that actually had, like, gone around and, like, somehow landed in the Porsche on left field. I don't know how it would work, but, like, that was the ball that actually broke it. So some of them are no doubters, but sure. Maybe Tennessee will struggle a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I am interested to see what the fan base is like. Like I said, I don't know when to bite the bullet and make the trip. Like I said, I had one guy telling me, like, hey, let's go, blah, blah. And I was like, buddy. He's like, the championship series, we'll watch that. I was like, buddy, that's a week from then. Like, you're not even close. Like, it's a 9-day event out there. Be careful if you're trying to go out there for the championship. You're going to go there for, like, one or two games, and who knows, you know, depending on if Tennessee wins or loses, the game time will change. Maybe you just hope Tennessee wins the first two and gets, like, a 3-day break, 4-day break, and you could kind of come back. It's going to be tough logistically, although I do think, you know, Tennessee, it's as close as we've been. This is as close as we've been to winning a national championship since when? I mean, 2001? Like, 2001 LSU? Like, you were two games away from that
Yeah.
possibility. Although, you know, I don't think, obviously, that team would have beaten 2001 Miami.
Yeah.
I think you might have you might have gotten embarrassed if you played that 2001 Miami team, but at least you were one game away from playing for a national championship. Tennessee right here is in the Final Eight.
Yep.
And not only are they in the Final Eight, they're there as one of the favorites. Maybe, I guess, 2010, Michigan State, Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Win that game, maybe win a title. With the way it shook out, maybe. So what you've seen this weekend is that Tennessee fans are going to respond to a good team, and Tennessee fans are bought in on this team. Vitello's a rock star. Do you think he'll ever lose his edge in terms of just, like, his personality? Like, it seems like – because, I mean, like, you know, he came up right next to me, again, front row, thanks, Danny. And, like, you know, one of the things he said when celebrating to our boy at Hops and Hollers, Todd, was, like, give me that bleeping beer. Like, he wanted the beer. Like,
I heard that,
Like, that's what he says, like, hand me that bleeping beer. Which, I mean, obviously knows that you couldn't. There's a net there. But, like, he's there, like, partying. And, you know, the walk-off, he jumps into the net. It's like, let's bleep and go. Like, I mean, like, he has an edge. He has personality.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem like Tennessee's going to, like, try to neuter him. They haven't. They've let him be him. So, like, maybe you just have this coach that's got a lot of personality and wins a bunch of games, and you'll have, like, a rock star on campus.
I think you can allow that leeway with sports like this, like some of the more close to the non-revenue sports, just because you're not as worried about, like, off-putting the, like, old head donors that, you know, like, kind of do the football stuff and, you know, they have to do the meet and greets. And I'm sure he's good in, like, a professional setting too, but, like, the people that come out to those games casually love that kind of stuff. So I think you're okay with letting the guy be him. And he says the right stuff, you know, in the media and things like that too. So, like, I think you can let him do that as long as he's keeping it. I guess uniform a little bit when it gets in, like, a professional setting.
You also see no other, like, coaches doing this, right? I feel like every other coach, like SEC, like, kind of boring, I guess older still.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I think we went through that exercise last week where a lot of the successful ones now are just kind of old. Like,
Yeah.
Just kind of old and, you know, don't have that. And you don't really get this situation too many times where you have a guy who is 42 but also kind of proven already, like, no, I'm a big-time winner. Like, I know I haven't won anything big yet, but I just got to Omaha. And I would have maybe gotten there last year, too, if the COVID hadn't stopped me. So, no, I'm just going to let my nuts hang a little bit here, and I'm just going to be myself, and people are going to eat it up, and it's just the way it's going to be. And also have a really nice head of hair. And I'm not even going to bother, like, getting married. I'm just going to live this bachelor lifestyle. Because, like, usually you don't get that with, like, football coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something, you know, there's a saying that's like, you know, you can't really have a single president, and you don't really want a single football coach on campus, like, because you want the family atmosphere, you want the family vibe, a family man, like, that's the guy you want leading your program or your country.
Builder of young men.
Well, yeah, like, you want to sell the family stuff, like, now that, you know, whether or not they're out there still getting it in or whatever is besides the point. You know, shout out Bobby Petrino, and Hugh Freeze, and, you know, countless others, Lane Kiffin, and although Lane, I guess, is just like, you know what, I tried the marriage thing, I'm just going to be the eligible bachelor. He's one of the few, but, like, Vitello's like, nah, I'm good.
Yep.
I'm just going to be me. Be careful bringing your girlfriends and wives to the game. Maybe just go with the boys. LSU fans are very sad online. Very sad online.
Mm-hmm.
We've lived long enough to see LSU fans become soft. So Tennessee, again, I do think it comes from Vitello. And, like, you know, you just look at it from the Tennessee fan base. Like, I don't know if this is something like, hey, you know, 3 years from now, if Tennessee keeps winning, maybe we become less hostile. Or maybe it's like, you know what, Vitello's kind of given us the go-ahead to bring the energy. So let's just kind of follow our coach here, and we will be just this rowdy school.
The bad boys.
The bad boys, yeah.
Playing into it.
Which I don't know how the rest of the country feels. I know in the SEC we've ruffled some feathers.
Yep.
I don't think, like, when we get to Omaha, like, does the rest of college baseball look and say, you know what, I hate this team? Or they're like, wow, this team is awesome, because you got swag.
Yeah.
You know, there's an LSU, I think, podcaster or writer. I was like, you know what, I know I'm supposed to hate this Tennessee team, but they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they seem like they'd be enjoyable to watch, you know, especially if you're one of those people that's kind of like, I guess, a little tired of, like, the traditionalist a little bit baseball style.
There's not much of that in college, though, Cam. Like, college baseball kind of lets you do whatever you want.
That's what,
like,
I've kind of noticed.
You got home runs and, like, you know, people sliding their feet across the plate, like wiping their feet off a mat. Like, you get the bat flips. No one really, like, throws at you. And I know Tennessee got hit in the head in the ninth inning last night, but that was a curveball. It just didn't curve. I mean, it was that wasn't someone trying to send a message.
Yeah, he just lost it.
Yeah, college baseball allows you to do that. Now, it is fun, and, like, you know, you probably will have some Omaha-only fans that are watching because, okay, now it's time. And, you know, Tennessee plays with a lot of confidence and swagger, and, like, you know, everyone that sees Vitale is going to be like, oh, who's that? In a sport where, you know, you don't really have anybody that looks like him or, you know, behaves like him. Especially if, you know, they're playing the clips of Omaha of him sprinting after the walk-off and, you know, just showing personality. Feels good. You feel like you have a chance to win a championship. Foster writes in, is this single elimination now? No, it's not. It's still a double elimination. So
does that mean, like, championship game, the loser bracket has to beat the team twice? That would be...
I think when you get to the championship bracket, it just
goes best of three, straight up?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, like, the way it'll be like kind of like the SEC in that regard, except they're not going to do the weird single elimination. It's double elimination the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then, I think you'll have somebody wins the winner's bracket, and then, you know, a team will have to claw and get there. But then I think then it resets just to best of three. I don't think I messed that up. I'm 99% sure that's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tennessee's guaranteed at least two games. I mean, I think we're going to go out there and win a couple.
Why not the whole damn thing, John?
Why not the whole damn thing? Not? It's true. There's one thing left to do, win the whole damn thing. A Vanderbilt National Championship Series would be
Oh, my God. How intense would that be?
That would be something. That would be something. I'm going to go on record. I don't want that. I would rather them get knocked out. Let's go ahead and get Vanderbilt knocked out.
Let's go, Arizona. Yeah. Let's go, Cats.
Rawr! Wildcats. Love the Wildcats.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it for Rich Rod and Kevin Sumlin, Khalil Tate.
Rip.
Mike Bibby. Love Mike Bibby.
Oh.
Gronk.
Gronk, all right,
DeAndre
Gronk.
Ayton.
Yeah, let's go Gronk. DeAndre Ayton's playing well, too. All right, let's go Arizona. Teddy Bruschi.
I really do think we're going to fill up the stands, man.
Like, I think it's very possible. I mean, like,
they're going to travel.
Yeah. Like, compared to Texas, maybe Texas will have a good fan. But I just don't – like, Stanford, NC State, like, some of these teams, are they going to be pulling in a lot of fans? I don't really think so.
I think once
Arizona –
I was going to say, I think once Arkansas got eliminated, it's kind of like whenever, you know, Kentucky gets knocked out of the tournament tickets and – mm-hmm. You know, the basketball tournament tickets become available. So I wonder, like, how many hotel cancellations are going to happen today, because I would imagine the Omahawks had a whole bunch of rooms and tickets blocked off, to which now they will be looking for a refund as they are not going.
All you got to do is make sure to bring those green hats. You see Tony V.
Bring the green hats.
Yep.
I assume that was an old school reference. Bring the green hats.
Hey, you got to love a guy who's young enough to do the pop culture references too, right?
Well, I don't know, because it's a movie from like 2003.
Hey, pop culture.
No, I mean, it's
popular.
I mean, it's fun. I just don't know, like, who was the reference for. Like, yeah, Tony Vitello, he probably loved old school growing up. He was probably Mitch. Like, he might be living Mitch's lifestyle right now. Like, Tony Vitello's kind of the godfather right now. Except he doesn't have, like, the, you know, I don't think he has the remorse. Of, like, you know, Luke Wilson kind of knew, like, I'm a little too old to be doing this. Yeah. I don't want to do this. But I think Tony's just there, like, yep, I'm the godfather.
Thank you.
Every day is Mitchapalooza for Tony Vitello on campus. Tony's living the godfather lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
So bring your green hats. So he makes a good pop culture reference. I don't know how many people in his team have seen Old School.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's referencing enough where they watch it, but, like, I don't know. Like, are 19, 20-year-olds watching Old School? I mean, I'm sure it's something that gets watched by some just because of the cast. Like, oh, you know, wow, Will Ferrell and Vince Vaughn.
Yep.
He's just trying to get the 30 to 40-year-olds to travel out there. They'll pick up on it.
Where is that, like, a popular reference, though?
Honestly, like, I didn't know what it meant. Yeah, I was about to say, I had to look it up as well.
I mean, Trey Wallace had added it to the clip of his. And so, like, I mean, that one, it was easy to see. But, like, when I saw just the quote of, and bring a green hat, so I didn't really know. Then, of course, you see, him telling, the Don Magic One, who's telling to bring his green hat at Mitchapalooza. Feels good. We will, have more as we get set, when the bracket gets officially set tonight. Virginia, Dallas Baptist. Again, put me on record. I'm rooting for Virginia.
Either way, I feel pretty good about that, right?
Wasn't Virginia carried like a no-hitter against them too yesterday until like the seventh inning? Like,
yeah, what was the final score of that game? Because, I mean, it was
4-0.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Virginia.
Okay. It was scoreless in the seventh, right? I mean, okay, so then Virginia added a couple. All right, well, big win for Tennessee baseball for Vitello and the boys. You saw some emotion coming out of the parents. As they've kind of been like, this has to be wild for them. Like, this 4 and 5 year seniors who have been around the program for a while, like, what they came into compared to, like, where they, like, made it to.
Yep. There may be, like, 6 year seniors with, like, the COVID year knocking stuff out. Yeah. So, like, yeah, people could have just been hanging around.
Well, I mean, like, Durke, like, broke the record, right, for most, like, Tennessee games ever played for, like, a baseball player, like, because he had gotten hurt 1 year. Like, yeah. And then, like, yeah, also, like, the COVID last year kept his eligibility. So, like, I mean, I think he's our most tenured Vol, like, in baseball history. So, I mean, like, imagine, like, what he's been around. Like, you know, his dad's getting interviewed after the game, and he's just like, yeah, it's surreal. We're going to Omaha. And you have, you know, Liam Spence's dad tweeting just about, you know, how much they love Tennessee. And said Orange for Life, which I don't know if that's a different thing, or maybe there's I don't know. Orange for Life.
Just only wear that color for the rest of his life.
Work, yeah, it's good for you guys. But, like, yeah, I mean, just imagine, like, again, this team has a bunch of seniors on it. The difference of the program, like, that they committed to and signed up to play, and, like, where they've gotten. There's a lot of guys on that roster right now who have literally built this. So it's really, really cool to have them be able to go there and accomplish this goal. Because, again, it's not like they committed to a powerhouse. Like, even with Tennessee football, like, if Tennessee football, maybe this is more apt, like, 3 or 4 years ago. Like, if Butch Jones, if that group had, like, gotten Tennessee back on track.
Yeah.
Or maybe even Jeremy Pruitt had gotten back on track. You wouldn't, like, even look at those football players and be like, wow, why did you ever pick Tennessee? Because, like, you know, the history's there. The the facilities are still there. The fan base is there, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not the same for baseball. Baseball, the facilities aren't there.
Yeah.
I think we can admit the fan base wasn't there. It ain't like you were able to go to – like, you could – any type of recruit in football would be able to go inside a Pat Neyland Stadium because Tennessee fans are still putting 95,000 people there, even when it was really, really bad. You know, I know it for Dooley to get down to 70 a couple times. But for the most part, you're still, especially for the big games, the SEC games, you're putting 95,000 people in there. You could see the cathedral that is Neyland Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball didn't have that. Imagine going on a baseball recruiting trip. It's got bad facilities. The stadium's kind of sucks. Depending if it's Serrano or Vitello, you're either committing to a coach that has a national championship that hadn't proven anything at Tennessee and, like, never got it off the ground, or you're committing to a guy in Vitello who hadn't won anything. I mean, had never been a head coach. Yeah. And you take this leap of faith and, like, you've literally built it. Like, I would imagine in the first couple of years that these guys were here, there were a lot of games with, you know, a couple thousand people in it.
Oh, yeah.
At most.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to see, like, what's happened over the last, like, month and be there and, like, know that you're the reason why. It has to be a pretty cool feeling for these college athletes. And, you know, you saw the emotion on the parents' faces. You saw the emotion on the players' faces, too, as they, like, are celebrating and, you know, running around making sure to high-five everybody they can.
Yeah, you can tell they enjoy the atmosphere of it we've been putting out there. So, yeah, good for them. Good for them. That's what it's all about in college sports for sure.
Anything else, Draven, about this baseball team you want to say before we move on?
I was just going to say, honestly, like, this is for the younger fan generation, too. This is the most success we've ever had, isn't it? It's kind of, it's almost surreal a little bit. Don't really know how to respond to it.
I would say 2 years ago with Grant and Admiral, like, that was close. That was the closest.
Sweet 16, saying, though, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, still doesn't aim. I don't even think compare. And not only that, like, we're like, we feel like we're favorites. Like, we feel like we got, like, I feel like we got a good shot to take it all. Like, now, I don't even think you could take that in college basketball just because we know, like, I mean, you got Cinderella teams getting to the Sweet 16. Yeah. Like, almost everybody can, you know, at least make a run.
And we know Barnes didn't really have a good track record. But I'll say, like, that year when you're ranked number one in the country, like, I thought that team could make a Final Four. I thought that team could win a national championship. You know, when you lose to Purdue, it was still devastating. But I'm saying, like, that's just the only other comparison of, like, a team that's even had any of the level of success. That's the only other team that's done anything. But that team didn't perform, you know, well with quote-unquote championships on the line. Like, however you want to equate it out, like, yeah, you beat Kentucky in the SEC tournament, you lost to Auburn.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to the Sweet 16, but then you lost to Purdue. Like, you didn't really accomplish anything.
A big lead against Iowa. We talked about that. I mean,
This baseball team, you know, answered the call every time. Even thinking back to game one of the regionals, like,
I was thinking that,
every Tennessee fan probably had the, you know, a bad feeling in the pit of their stomach, like, oh, here we go again with Tennessee Athletics whenever they're supposed to do something, and then they come out and hit a walk-off grand slam. Like, that doesn't happen for Tennessee Athletics, or at least it hasn't over the last decade. Like, teams don't live up to the expectations. They definitely don't come through in clutch moments. And then they hit the walk-off grand slam and haven't really looked back. Like, at that point on, like, I think this team, this fan base has had ultimate confidence. Like, you beat the hell out of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
you weren't worried in the championship game when Liberty came back. Like, you know, when you had to play on the second time, you knew, like, hey, we're going to beat this team again. It's not a big deal. Pitching's got it. Pitching's been great. And then against LSU, like, yeah, you fell behind a couple times on the in the first game by one run, but then you answered every time. Like, as soon as you went down, you came back and scored.
Yep.
It is. It has been nice, Draven. Like you said, this is the most – it's a successful team, but also, like, even that Barnes team, like, you know, when we're talking about 2019, that team didn't have the personality from the top down. Like, you could talk about Grand Admiral and Alphas or whatever, but, like – Rick Barnes wasn't carrying himself the way that Tony Vitello does. You know what I mean? Like, Rick Barnes, was, you know, he was kind of neutering that team of, like, you know, I asked, is that going to happen to Vitello? I don't think it will, but, like, I'm not even saying anybody's done it to Barnes. It's just Barnes' demeanor. Like, he doesn't carry himself braggadociously, and Vitello's going to be in your face and let you know. And he's going to argue, like, yeah, like, go ahead. That was a foul on Lamonte. That was a foul on Lamonte Turner. Let shoot your free throws. I'm not going to criticize the ref after the game. You saw Vitello after, you know, what, the second or third inning on Saturday, the umps make Dallas pitch in a downpour. He gives up a home run. Like, they're ready to, like, get tossed right there at the beginning. Like, they're ready to fight.
Yep.
And, of course, like, you're going to easily say the team responds to that, and the team knows the coaches have their backs, and, like, you know, it's kind of what, the, you know, it's kind of what you know, you play for. You want those situations. You want their coaches that you, like, it's a special team in that regard of, like, everyone's connected. And maybe this is kind of a flash in the pan in that regard, and these, like, the next teams in the next years won't be able to be as lovable because, again, they weren't the ones that built it. Because these seniors, it probably does mean something extra for them.
Oh, for sure.
For Vitello, like, your first is always going to be your best type of thing. Like, you're always going to remember this. And he said that after the game. It was just, like, the best part was seeing the look on these players' faces. He's like, I'm always going to remember that. And I do think there's some big truth to that. I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I do think this is going to be kind of the new norm here for Tennessee baseball, but it's still going to be special because, again, it is the first, and you've got guys who have, you know, bought into something that was invisible and had faith in this coaching staff and in this fan base and have been rewarded, and I hope they get to experience a national championship because, like Draven said, this is the closest we have been, and who knows, it might be the closest we get anytime soon. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's switch gears from college baseball. Another congratulations to the boys. We appreciate it. It's nice to have a winner. It's nice to have somebody you can believe in. It is appreciated. Draven, where you want to go next? The NBA, what's the biggest NBA storyline coming out of the weekend?
I don't know. We had some games go down.
Yeah.
Kyrie injured. Bucks pulling out a big win.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you look around, that Brooklyn Nets team that was a three-man team is now down to one guy. It's going to be tough. You went from, how are you going to stop Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving to, well, good luck, Kevin.
Well, don't we say, like, Kevin Durant's maybe the second best player in the NBA? Haven't we said that behind LeBron?
Or we just say he was the best player in the league last week. I mean, last week.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
After game two, he looked like the best player in the league.
What about LeBron taking the terrible teams in Cleveland to the NBA Finals? What about that?
Well, I don't know how that Bucks team would match up with that, like, Pistons team that was kind of at the end of their run. Like, I don't know if it's the same thing or what. But, I mean, obviously, yeah, we gave LeBron credit for carrying, you know, at the age of, what, 23, a team to the finals. That's, you know, best player is Big Z, and Eric Snow is his running mate. So, like,
we gotta admit, this Nets team's a little bit better than what Cleveland had back in the day.
No, this Nets team better. I'm saying, I don't know if – I feel like the Bucks are probably better than that Pistons team was that was kind of at the end of their ropes. But either way, like – I don't think Durant's going to get a pass if they lose this series with, you know, basically it's 2-2 if two of three games at home. And there's still a chance Harden could come back. It didn't sound like Kyrie's coming back anytime soon. The owner was like, hey, we're not going to let Kyrie's injury rush James back. And Kyrie doesn't really seem like the guy that's going to go out of his way to play through injury. He seems to be like, hey, I'm not going to permanently hurt myself or risk further injury for basketball. It's just basketball, bro.
Yeah, and with Harden too, like, this is the same injury, but I mean, he was out for all the months earlier in the year, and that was kind of because he came back a little early and tweaked it again. And so they're probably very terrified of that happening, and
yeah,
hoping Durant can get them the win without them. And I don't know.
It feels a little bit like, I mean, if you're Milwaukee, you probably feel like, hey, we're gonna do the Nets what the Raptors did to us, where we fought on 0-2, and then all of a sudden we're gonna come back and win four straight. And they wouldn't have done it had Kyrie not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
They might have won game four with Kyrie out because they had kind of went on a tear. They were down early, kind of lifeless, and Milton hit a four-point play, and they kind of took off. And then next thing you know, Kyrie got hurt. And then once Kyrie got hurt, the Nets just kind of went in a shell. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they'll win game four or not, but I would say, like, even if it was 2-2, I still would have picked the Nets with a healthy Kyrie to win, you know, two games at home and win that series at least in seven, if not six. But right now, if you're the Bucks, like, yeah, you're looking around, you're like, okay, we can guard Durant. Like, we got four guys we could throw at him, and let's see Joe Harrison and Blake Griffin beat us. So that's a big development for a team that looked like the title favorite. Title favorite right now might have to be over in Phoenix as, you know, Chris Paul.
Look at Chris. Woo.
It was an elimination game. Now, Granger up 3-0, but Chris Paul was a maestro last night, scoring 37 points on 19 shots, dishing out 7 assists, and getting some of his flowers as him and Booker combined for, what, 71 points and closed the door on Denver?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I think they said that was the most points he'd scored since, like, 2018. Yeah, I thought it was, like, 2018.
I'm surprised he had it in 2018.
It was 18 or 16.
If you had told me
it
was back to the Clippers days, I would have believed that.
Yeah. Like, insane, but no, he's played great in this series.
He could have gone for 50 if he wanted to last night, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That Nuggets team, especially, that Nuggets team was done for, and then Jokic gets ejected.
What do you think about that ejection?
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was frustrated. I thought he wound up and threw a punt. I mean, I wound up and, like, swung. And
kind of got all ball, though. graced his face a little bit, but it was majority ball hit.
I feel like if Campaign would have gotten back up, probably didn't happen. If Campaign would have gotten played ball, but Campaign was like, hey, you raised my face. Like, yeah, what are you doing? And then Jokic probably didn't help his cause whenever he basically challenged Devin Booker to, like, do something, like jump. Like, Devin Booker's trying to get his face, and Jokic's just kind of spitting in his face, and he's talking, like, what are you going to do? And, you know, everyone on the internet is, like, pointing out, like, you know, Jokic is from Serbia and, like, grew up in a war-torn country. Like, Jokic isn't scared of Devin Booker. Yeah. Like, Jokic is like, all right, if you want to go, let's go.
I don't know if it was real, but did you see the thing?
About his brother?
Like his brother throwing knives at him or something?
There's probably some truth to it. I didn't see it. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm saying I don't think Jokic is scared of Devin Booker.
Oh, yeah, you're not at all.
I don't think Iman League is scared of Devin Booker. Like, if it was Jay Crowder, if it was DeAndre Ayton in his face, maybe he would have been. I would have taken it as a threat. And I don't think Jay Crowder's a tough guy. Maybe DeAndre Ayton just for size. But, like, I know it ain't Devin Booker, which credit to Devin Booker for trying to be a leader. But, you know, at a certain point, he had to realize, oh, wait, this isn't going well for me. Yeah. But Jokic doesn't seem like a mean guy or anything. But Jokic just completely did not care. Like, what are you going to do? But again, the Suns dismantle the Nuggets, sweep them out. I mean, I thought Charles Barkley was being a little ridiculous during the. Did you watch any of the pregame halftime stuff?
No.
He just kept harping about you can't get swept if you're this great. Like, if you're Jokic, you can't get swept. And I'm just like, what's the difference? Like, if you're losing five versus four, like, is that. I understand, like, giving up or whatever, but, like, this team's outclassed. This team's better than you, and, like, Jokic ain't going to be able to beat this team by himself.
But he's got to fix his mentality a little bit, man. I mean, the whole him swiping was just because he didn't get a call on the other side. He shot a little floater, thought he got fouled, and he. Taking it out. Like,
he still got a lot of the ball on that swipe.
It's just like, I mean, we kind of think of Joker like, oh, funny guy, laid back, all that. But, like, he was such a baby this series. It really exposes you when you don't have things go your way and you just get absolutely dominated. Like, last year you could say that with the Lakers, but I felt like they were just glad to be in that position anyways.
Well, I thought you saw a little bit of edge to him, though. Like, I mean, him getting frustrated. I mean, I know it's maybe not the right way to handle it, but, like, it wasn't like he was laughing and didn't care. Like, you at least saw, like, that he was upset.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't think he should be, like, throwing punches and swinging. And, you know, you could argue whether I even should have been ejected. Like Cam said, you got some ball. But that was a wind-up. He was frustrated. He didn't get a foul call. Like, they probably didn't want to get out of control because they knew a sweep was coming regardless. The 90s NBA would have laughed at that. You had Trae Young and Ja Morant on Twitter being like, okay, that's soft.
Like whatever, by the way. Like, if they would have took a hit like that, they're flopping too. Both of them.
Oh, yeah, but they're just saying.
Both,
like,
of them.
They're just saying it's a flagrant one, not a flagrant two. Yeah. Like, whatever. But I'm saying you could have told me Jokic got to play the rest of the game, and I wouldn't argue. But, you know, I thought that you did see his frustration, and there could be a question of, like, hey, I'm the MVP. Like, give me some foul calls. Because he was mad. Like, I don't know if he was getting fouled on all those, but, like,
it was a whole series, too. Like, well, don't even just point out this game. It was series he was whining and complaining.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I don't know if he was getting fouled on those or not. Like, but maybe he thinks, like, hey, if this was LeBron James getting hit like this, it would be a foul call. Hey, if it was Devin Booker, if it was Chris Paul, if it's a, you know, superstar that has earned the respect, they're getting this foul call. Because, I mean, let's face it, going back to Jordan, like, people would always say, Jordan got better calls, Kobe got better calls, superstar call. If I'm Jokic, I'm like, hey, I'm a superstar. Like, quit letting this guy beat the hell out of me. Like, give me the call. I know I'm 7 foot, but, like, I'm getting fouled.
Well, I was going to say, he's a big man. I mean, you're not going to get as many calls. Like, no, I mean, you're getting beat up down there.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's – yeah, I mean, Shaq, you know, got the hell beat out of him.
Yeah.
But Jokic obviously plays a little bit more finesse game, and, you know, I understood the frustration just from, like, I've watched the NBA for the last 5 years as I've been playing in Denver here, and, like, I know superstars get the better calls. Like, I just won MVP. Give me a foul call. Now, maybe, like, you could say Michael Malone – should have gone a little bit harder over the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And just been, like, in the media doing the Phil Jackson, talking about how they're, you know, Jokic is getting mugged and they're not calling it. Mm-hmm. Protect your player a little bit. But the Suns, I mean, I think they're the story of the night coming out of it. Just I mean, they're, like I said, you have Devin Booker and Chris Paul go for 71 points and make it look easy. And DeAndre Ayton has turned into a pretty damn good player.
Yeah. Their whole starting unit has been so solid this entire season.
Yep.
Mainly everybody's putting up plus 10 or more.
Yep. Well, I mean, they've won what? They were down 2-1, then they won, you know, three in a row in there, and then they've won 7 playoff games in a row, and not many of them have even been close. Like, this team has, you know, flipped the switch. I still don't know if they would have beaten the Lakers had Anthony Davis not gotten hurt, but this team was legitimately really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see what happens in this next series with the Clippers and the Jazz, but if you're the Suns, you feel like you could beat either one of those teams?
They have so many off days. That's just a 2-1 series, and they're already on to the next round.
Yeah, I think I saw something. If the Jazz series went the distance, eight days of rest. So.
Is that good or bad? I was going to say, a little rusty.
We'll see what happens in game one. It's either going to be rest versus rust. Like, I'm sure Chris Paul's shoulder appreciates it, although it seems like he's, you know, kind of shut that off, and he's fine.
Yeah.
You like the rest if you get it and you play well. If you don't, you'll be like, oh, man, we were rusty. I'm sure they had, like, 3 or 4 days. They probably want whoever wins this next series to win it in 7 games and triple overtime. Like, they probably would rather just have, like, hey, let's let this team get as tired as possible.
Yeah.
Let's let them get beat up. Let's let them go to war, and then we'll come in and we'll be healthy and ready to go. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm the Suns and I've won 7 games in a row, like, I want to be back on the court as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Ice my knees up, give me, like, 2 days, and let's go. Let's get it. But, you know, Crowder started hitting threes in the postseason, and that Suns offense looks a lot better. Mikal Bridges, again, looks like a stud two-way player. And then
he's been good.
Ayton, Paul, and Booker, kind of a big three there, which it's funny because, I mean, we're 2 years away from the Rockets trading first-round picks to get rid of Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Paul is still a top 20 player. And Chris Paul is still somebody that can help carry a team to the finals, or at least the conference finals. We'll see if he gets to the finals. But, you know, any team could have had him 2 years ago. Oklahoma City took him. And at one point, it looked like his contract was the worst in the NBA. And like, well, you're going to be paying Chris Paul $40 million in 2 years and when he's 36. And, yeah. Seems like he's a bargain right now. So, any team could have done this. Again, if the Bucks don't win the championship, they're going to think, man, we should have gotten Chris Paul. We should have done it. They should have. The Nuggets also was a team that could have gotten Chris Paul 2 years ago. Like, anybody could have had. The Thunder got paid to take him. And now here he is on the doorstep of getting to the finals. And, again, you know, dominated last night. Basically 2 points per shot. It's about as good as it gets.
He didn't even attempt a three-pointer. Is that a little worrisome?
No. I mean, why would he? He couldn't stop his mid-range.
He's got that mid-range.
I feel like he shot 80% on that mid-range the last, 2 weeks. And really for his whole career since I've been watching Chris Paul. So, you know, take what the defense gives you. Put Michael Porter Jr. in a pick-and-roll situation, get him switched on you, and just abuse him. Like, that's what they did. Michael Porter Jr. has got a long way to go.
He's so bad.
Yep. Hour one in the books. We'll talk more NBA. We'll do headlines. Check in on the NFL. Hour two is on the other side. Stick with us.